We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
We're also in the southern hemisphere, so the seasons are reversed from what you have here. We're going into wintertime here eventually, and they're just in spring and getting ready for summer. So they have Christmas at one of the longest days of the year. So it's a nice time to have Christmas. People will often go to the beach on Christmas and have a barbecue on the beach. Some families like to have Christmas breakfast, where they'll invite family over and have a nice breakfast together on Christmas Day. Different ways of celebrating. Sometimes we'll look for people. I know when we lived in South Auckland, there were some people who didn't have family, and we'd be looking out for those people to invite, especially for Christmas and special times of the year, just to come and join us around the table. The last time we were here, then, we were serving in Wellington. Wellington is the capital city of New Zealand. It's about 400,000 people. The biggest city, Auckland, is about 1.5 million, where we served for 27 years. And Wellington was, when we first started, we went to a place called Taupo. Taupo is in the middle of the North Island on a lake called Lake Taupo, which is a big, massive volcanic explosion that took place in about 100-plus A.D. And I've heard there's even records in Rome that they knew about this big volcano that went off in those days. And so that's where we served for about 10 months to work with senior missionaries and get adjusted to the ministry. And then the Lord moved us on from there a little earlier than I was hoping to Auckland, where we served at the South Auckland Bible Church. And then we did attempted to do a church plant out of South Auckland Bible Church, which didn't go successfully in the long run, but we gave it a good shot. And from then we moved on to Wellington, and we were there for about 9 years. So we left Wellington in 2022. August of 2022, and we've been serving now in Whangarei. But when we left, this is kind of a picture from a few years ago. The group that was worshiping in Wellington, we were in a place called Lower Hutt, which is one of the suburbs around Wellington, part of Wellington City. And the church has grown a lot since then, and we just realized, hey, they don't need another missionary here. They've got a missionary that's still there. His name's Pink Davis. That's Pink on the far left. He and his wife, and they have 5 children. And they continue to faithfully serve the Lord in Wellington. They look forward to the day when they can move on from there and start a new work. In the meantime, they're equipping men to take on the leadership. And they have, I believe, about 5 or 6 men who are learning, growing, and one of them especially is looking to be the pastor. And the others are becoming more capable of preaching and teaching the word and helping out with the ministries. Because a pastor can't run a church alone. You need some good right-hand men and women. You know, you need some people to help and do the work. So Wellington to Auckland. Actually, we started in Auckland, went to Wellington, and then we're up in Whangarei now, which is about a 2.5-hour drive north of Auckland. About, I believe it's around 500 miles from Wellington. So even though New Zealand looks a little on the map, it takes a long time to to drive from even on the North Island. I think overall from the tip of the South Island to the tip of the North Island, it's about 1,100 miles long. Whangarei is a city of 100,000 people, so it's the seventh largest city in New Zealand. We went there, though, primarily because that's where our son lives. And getting older, we wanted to be close to the only family we had in New Zealand. So we have two granddaughters, 18 and 16 years old, in Whangarei. And they are living there. And we have another daughter now, our youngest daughter, who's planning to move to New Zealand. So she lives in Jacksonville, Florida, with her husband. And they have three children, and we're really excited about their wanting to come back. He's not a Kiwi, but she's born in New Zealand, so she has New Zealand citizenship. And all of her three children were able to get citizenship. Her husband then will, Lord willing, come with a partnership visa and maybe even get a permanent visa from that. So we're looking forward to next year, Lord willing, they'll be moving to Whangarei, and we'll have our youngest daughter and our son and five of our grandchildren. We have 13 grandchildren in all, so five of them will be in the same town in New Zealand, so that'll be exciting to be able to have that. This is the home the Lord gave us in Whangarei, so we're so thankful to God for a place to put down roots, and it's in the middle of two churches. We wanted to kind of position ourselves, because when we first went to New Zealand, we worked or got adjusted to some a group from Clark Road Chapel, which is kind of at the northern end of Whangarei, and we got involved in that ministry, and our son, let's see, no, he wasn't going there yet, but it worked out that this new church that we're involved in, which is an old church, which is a revival of that church, is in another part of Whangarei on the southern, kind of out on a peninsula. So we're kind of in the middle of those two anyway, which positioned us well. So what do you do? We're moving up to a new place. We don't know the people there. They don't know us. They didn't really know anything about the mission organization that I was with or any of our missionaries. So I found out that there was a group of guys 50 years and old and up called Blokes. Their Bible study was called Blokes and Bibles. So I got together with all these blokes here, and we meet on weekly on Tuesday mornings from 6 to 8. It's a great time of just praying together, opening the scriptures together, and then those who don't have to go to work will go to a little cafe next door and have another 45 minutes to an hour of ongoing fellowship and discussions of anything that might be on people's minds. And that introduced me to that church. We also joined a home group that meets fortnightly. Any of you know that term, fortnightly? Every 2 weeks. It meets on a Thursday evening, or Wednesday evening. My wife's going to speak up from time to time to correct me. That's her job. And, of course, you might want to add anything, too. We have really grown to love this group of people, this home group from Clark Road. So after getting involved in attending services and in some of the groups that they have, I met with the elders of the church. They had five elders, and I asked, I said, I have some Bible training that I've done in some other churches that if you'd be open to it, I'd like to teach it here. And so I met and presented, it's called Bible Training Center for Pastors and Church Leaders. It's a curriculum of 520 hours of Bible training. And so it's I laid it out before them, and they looked at it, and they said, that sounds good. You can do that. And the pastor there, he said, well, how do you want to gather the class? You know, what kind of people, you know, do we just sign a list up and have people volunteer? And I said, well, I might have told this little story when I was here before, but I said I'd really like some VTPs to be in the group. Do you know what a VTP? There's four kinds of people in the church, and I hope you're all VTPs here. There's the VIPs, the very important people, your church leaders. They're already functioning in the leadership capacity. You have your VTPs, the very teachable people. They're wanting to learn and wanting to grow and be discipled and mentored and serve. You have the VNPs with the very nice people. They're nice, but they're not really teachable. And then you have the VDPs, the very draining people. And they're not even nice. And, many pastors will spend 90% of their time with those bottom two categories and burn themselves out real quick. It's really important to develop the VIPs and the VTPs, which can trickle down and help out the others as well as a team. So I was able to gather a group, and this was our initial class at Clark Road. We actually started out with a few more, but one was a newly married couple, and they decided they weren't quite ready for that course yet, so they dropped out. But it's been a great joy. This is our third. We just completed our third year in training. We did How to Study the Bible was the first book, How to Interpret Scripture, and then the second book was Old Testament Survey, and then New Testament Survey. So it's been a wonderful time together to meet. Again, we're meeting every other week because on the off week I meet now in the same study with another group over at Ralmati Crescent Chapel. They're just 1 year behind this group, so. So that's how my afternoons are spent. We'll have the Lord's Day, and then in the afternoon, I'll either go over to Clark Road Chapel for this year it was a New Testament survey, and then be at the other week, be at Ralmati Crescent Chapel for Old Testament survey.
3 hours, 1 week, 2 hours.
Yeah, one goes longer than the other. Well, at our rate, it's going to take 10 years. But if we find someone that's really keen, we'll accelerate it. But for the rest of them, 2 to 3 hours a week is about, they're maxed out. So, from the Ralmati group, the man in the front, his name is Chris, the older man. And Chris is our song. He leads the singing every other week. Bev plays the piano, and he'll play the guitar. They're going to try to combine the two, I think, in this year or in the future. But it gives a little bit of variety to our music. Before Bev and I came, there was only she's about 90 years old. She played the organ. And when we came, she learned that Bev could play the piano, and she said, I would really like to rest from playing the organ every Sunday. And so Bev plays the piano, and so a lot of the people really enjoy the piano, and many enjoy the guitar that Chris will play. The other fellow there, the young man, it looks like he's holding a purse, but he's actually going to be doing a little presentation of his ministry that he just came home for. This was just taken about a month or two ago, just right before we left. Actually, the last Sunday we were there in New Zealand before we came here, and we came on September 15th. But Isaiah went on a short-term mission to Papua New Guinea with Ethnos 360 and had a fabulous exposure, of course, there to the tribal people there. 800 languages, and each one of them needs their own Bible translation. It is an ongoing project there. So he came back and he reported what God did. It was really encouraging. Isaiah is in the class that I teach at Clark Road Chapel, so it's a joy to see him getting exposed to missions and what the Lord might have for him in the future. So Chris is leading the singing there. The fellow on the violin in the background, he and his wife, we knew them in Wellington, and they are now raising a support team to go to Thailand. And they've had a couple of trips to Thailand. They know the missionaries there, and they are going to be going to language training. They're at 85% of their support level now and looking forward to going to Thailand. Ramadi Chapel has been, I had them several times, and Lord willing, we'd like to take them on for support. So it's exciting, even as a church that's being rejuvenated, to already have an investment in missions, and they continue to already have some missionaries that they support. This fella here is 18 years old. He probably doesn't even look 18, but he is really mature for his age. His father and mother go to the home group that I showed earlier. They're from Holland, but they've been living in New Zealand for all of his life, for sure. And his name is Ephraim. Ephraim is, he's just a lover of the scriptures. He's really passionate. And we had him preach. It was his first time he preached at Ramadi Chapel. And he wanted to preach on what is the gospel. And it was powerful. He's just so enthusiastic and very, very good, doctrinally sound on the gospel. And so it was a joy to have him preach. And since then, recently, he's gone over to Clark Road, and he's preached probably the same message over there. And I meet with Ephraim in my home. He comes over on, I think it's Thursday nights when Bev has choir and I'm home alone. So he'll come over, and we're going through the Bible training with Ephraim also. So it's just a delight to be able to have these kind of people to prepare and equip for ministry. This was taken since we've been here in the States. I'm terrible on taking photos, and I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of photos. So I asked one of the men in the church if he could get a photo. And so this is a photo of our group. And we're just so thankful to the Lord for the privilege of helping out. You see, this church has always been connected to Clark Road. This church is actually started Clark Road Chapel back in the 50s. Clark Road has grown. There are 200 people now. While this church, the men have died off, or, you know, some of them are too sick to able to get out to church anymore. And so we had about seven ladies, 80 plus in age, and then a couple of men and their families that were there. And when we came over, another couple from Clark Road went over. Actually, they went over first, and we came over afterwards. And our son Luke and Jasmine came over as well, just to help out with the ministries there. Luke and Jasmine moved on to another church right now. So, but we've seen some growth. We've seen some new families come along, and it's encouraging to see that. I also do indoor bowls. I don't know, if probably never have heard of indoor bowls, but it's a little game that old people play. It used to be all kinds of people would play it, but now it's become an old fogies game, I guess. But I enjoy it, and it's just a mat you roll out. It's 22 feet long. It's, you know, 6 feet plus wide or whatever, and you got these balls that about that big, and they're biased, so they curve, and you got this smaller ball that's a jack, and you roll it down and you try to get as close as you can, and you try to outscore the opposing team. So as long as you can kind of get down and bowl, there's someone that's played it that was 100 years old, so, you know, I might still have a future here. But I did that in Wellington, because I started doing that because Bev was going to choir and I needed something to do to get out for the same night, and I was doing that in Wellington. And now I've carried on in Whangarei, because they got bowls clubs all around New Zealand. But anyway, the man in the front on the left in the black shirt, his name is John. And when I, Bev?
On the right.
Sorry, yeah, on the right. Yeah, thank you. It's on the left if you're facing that way. John does bowls as well. And when I first went, I think it was my second night, they were doing summer bowls, so they were kind of not doing their regular weekly bowls. They take off for the summertime, but they have a couple of special times when they bowl. And I went to one of those, and John came up to me, and he said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I am." Now, later I found out, you know, I thought, well, oh, maybe I'm just so, I have a halo or something, and he might have noticed me. So I found out later, you know, why did you say that? He said, because the people, when I went that first night, they said, "One of your kind is here," meaning a Christian, because John is he's a Christian and he speaks for Christ. And so they said, "One of your kind is here." So John came over and said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes." And we started having a Bible study in his home. John and his wife, Rhonda, who's in the middle of the screen, they are very hospitable, and they opened their home, and I went over there, and we started having a Bible study. We went through the book of John, and it was just me and John, and Rhonda would join us whenever she was free. But then they began to invite a few people. Rhonda met a lady, or John did, maybe at Indoor Bowls. Her name's Yue. She's Asian. Her husband is German. And Yue was invited, and she started coming to our Bible study. And we're praying for her. We've been asking prayer, maybe in some of our letters you'll see, pray for Yue, Y-U-E, but it's pronounced Yue. And she goes to Germany half of the year. She's currently in Germany with her husband because he goes to Germany. He trades in gems, and he has business in Germany that he does half the year, and then they'll come back to New Zealand. So we're looking forward to when Yue comes back, because she was showing interest in learning the gospel and understanding it, and she has some weird things in her mind. She does Hawaiian massages, Hawaiian kind of a therapy that she uses, and it comes with some strange philosophies as well. So we're praying the Lord would open her eyes and heart, that she would desire to know Christ. But that also, a few other people have been invited to our Bible study there. So the little home group now is about seven people, and John is carrying it on while I'm away. So that was a nice step for John to be able to step in. At first I said, well, you know, it'd be nice if we could keep this study going while I'm away in America. And Rhonda said, John, you can do it. So John is continuing that while we're away, and we look forward to getting back and hopefully seeing more people reach for Christ, even through having the atmosphere of a comfortable home Bible study. Rhonda's a good cook and always makes nice muffins and coffee for anyone who comes. So it's very, very welcoming place. This is just a little bit of humor. This was in 2016. There was about three guys that were in violation of the law, and they were trying to run away from the police. They somehow got around the spikes that the police had set up, but they couldn't get around the flock of sheep going across the road. Farmer had his sheepdog, if you can see on the right there by that driveway, driving those sheep across the road. And it just so happened at that time, these thieves, robbers, or whatever they were trying to escape, and they could not get through. And so they were apprehended, and justice is done by those wonderful sheep of New Zealand. There used to be a lot more of this when we first went to New Zealand, there was 3 million people and 60 million sheep. So 20 to 1. So now there's 5 million people and 30 million sheep, so it's down to like 6 to 1. They're getting more into dairy, I think, than they are in sheep in New Zealand. Well, this isn't a slide I took. I just kind of ripped this off the internet. So it's got all the little words on it. But this is the town basin in Whangarei. So this is kind of where a lot of things happen. There's markets, restaurants, and really a nice track you can walk around or bike around that's at least a couple of miles long, I'd say, all the way around. So a lot of guys or people get out and jog and walk and ride their bikes and get exercise around the town basin. Yeah, it's fun just to walk around and read the names on the boats and see what people call them, creative names out there. And we're, Whangarei has, and on our prayer card, by the way, we put some prayer cards on the table. I've got some more here that I'll put out. If you'd be willing to pray for us, please take one, or even if you need a new picture for your dartboard or something, feel free to take one. But we're in a town that has beautiful waterfalls. One of them is called the Whangarei Falls, and people that visit Whangarei will often go there. It's a tourist destination. And this is what it looks like from the top. When Bev and I, that's one of the areas, it's only 5 minutes from our house, so we'll go there sometimes just to get a walk and have a change of scenery. And there's a little, you can see people walking across to the top of the falls. There's a little plank you can walk across. And just don't want to fall off and slide down the wrong way. And that's what it looks like from the bottom. That's probably after a rainfall, because it doesn't always have that much water going over it. But after a good rain, it really hoses down there, and the spray comes out a long ways. And the prayer card that we have, we're down there where those people are, basically. And we had one of our missionaries in China who was out of China for certain reasons. He couldn't be there. And so he was our area director. But he got into China because he's a photographer as well. And so that's how he gets into China, to serve the Lord. And so he was with us, and he had his drone and his camera, and he got this cool picture of us with Whangarei Falls in the background. So that's what's on our prayer card now. Yeah, so I think that's about the end of our slides. That's the New Zealand flag. We're in the southern hemisphere, indicated by the Southern Cross. That's the stars in the southern hemisphere that point sailors, especially in the old days when they sailed by the stars, they could use the Southern Cross to tell which direction they're going, as long as there wasn't cloudy night, I suppose. So just want to, I think that's it. That's everything that I had. Any questions or comments? Bev, anything you wanted to add? Becky? Oh, yeah, we have, I mentioned our daughter in Jacksonville, Florida, that they're planning to move to New Zealand. Our oldest daughter is in Martinsburg, West Virginia, which is in the panhandle of West Virginia, about an hour from Washington, D.C. She and her husband, Rob, and they have four daughters. The oldest is 19. She's now at Shepherd's University nearby their home. And then all girls, yeah, so they're getting big. And our other daughter, Katrina, and her husband, Kelly, live in Grafton, West Virginia. Have you ever heard of Grafton, West Virginia? Have you ever heard of Mother's Day? Mother's Day started in Grafton, West Virginia. There's also a national cemetery there. And that's, otherwise, I don't think it has much claim on anything else. He works in Morgantown, which is about a 40-minute drive. So they drive every day from Grafton to Morgantown, where he works as a diesel or as a mechanic. And they have four children. About a three-hour drive. So they don't see each other very much. But on Thanksgiving, before we go back to New Zealand, we'll be at Monica's, our daughter's, oldest daughter's house, and Jacinda's coming up from Florida with her family, Lord willing. Katrina and Kelly are coming. So everybody except for Luke's family will be together before we go back to New Zealand. So we're looking forward to that. And Lord willing, next year, Luke's family's hoping to come over. Yes. Yeah, as far as evangelical Christians, it's very small. I'd say 2% or so. There are churches, the mainline churches, the Catholic, Anglican, which is the Church of England, Presbyterian Church, and the Methodist Church are the four kind of standard ones that have been there for a long time. But you have brethren. Brethren churches, which is the ones we're involved in, have brethren roots. You have Baptist churches. Some of them are from the Union Baptist, which is not, kind of missing a lot of the plot. But some of the independent Baptist churches that have been started there are holding forth the gospel. Some of the Bible churches that have been established are holding forth the gospel. So there's a few, but it's not very many. And the last census that I'm aware of, there was a survey about religion, and 50% now say they're secular. They don't really have any particular religion. So that's grown quite a bit. And then, of course, you have your Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormons have built a temple in Auckland that is probably the highest point outside of the city itself, sitting in Manukau City on a hill with their rising spire. It just is a horrible sight to see, actually, for someone who professes to be Christian but are not teaching the truth about Jesus Christ. And that's those counterfeits are so subtle and so dangerous. So, yeah. The biggest kind of the immigrants that have come in are really the way that many churches are growing. The Kiwis, the European Kiwis that have been there for generations, at this point, not many of them are responding. But we find that people from the Philippines, the islands, Samoa, there's more openness to the gospel. Those coming in from the islands, like when we were working in South Auckland, we had a lot of Samoans that were there. But in Samoa, their Christianity has really become, just cultural Christianity. So they sing the hymns, they use the Bible, but they don't really... when you engage them, they don't really understand the power of the gospel and what it means to be saved from sin and rescued by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's the way we would have to approach that. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Thank you for that's a good question. Yes. No, not that I'm aware of. There is one school in Auckland. What's that called, Bev? The Laidlaw College. I know. I'm just saying that this is one of the ones that's Robert Laidlaw was a godly man. He started a place called Farmer's Department Store, which is kind of like Sears and Roebuck, and it started off as a catalog store and grew. And he had close connections to what's the guy that's buried there? Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside had a lot to do with New Zealand, and he would come over, and he married his second wife. His first wife died. His second wife was the sister of Robert Laidlaw, and so Laidlaw College was started, but it's been pretty watered down now. But I can't think of anywhere to recommend. So there was one that was a MacArthur kind of a school, started by folks that had been from Grace Church, but that's folded up now, I believe. It's not going. It got pretty good size, and it was doing pretty well, but that's not there anymore. That seminary is not there, or that school. So the need to train in the local church is very, very important. That's why we want to emphasize church-based local training, because these guys can't afford to go off to other countries to get their training. But pray that God would raise up, men that could do that, come over and do that.